I'm going to be in Matthew 6 today in the mind. That's where I'll be reading out of Matthew 6. And I want to talk today about anxiety and stress and dealing with those things. And the Bible has the answer. And God did not say, oh, I didn't think of America in 2015. I didn't. No, God knew everything, and he knew what everything would happen. It's a strange thing. I don't understand it. I know it's true. I see it all the time. Americans have the least reason to be stressed out, but they're about the most stressed out people. When I'll go in the country in the Philippines in a month, I'll be in poor areas, and these people have nothing, and they're so much more relaxed than Americans are. The car breaks down, the food doesn't show up, the whatever happens. We're all like... And we do this all the time. And not everybody does that. And some countries, they should do that. Look at the watches and once in a while, show some up on time. But they don't know where they're getting their food tomorrow, but they're fine. And sometimes we who have so much are so uptight. Now, it's not unique to us. Any people from every background and world and country, people can get uptight and stressed and have anxiety, but we have people with severe anxiety now, and people are tense. You can see it on them, and then you talk to them, and they're stressed out and worried. We're a worried people, and we need to learn that that's not God's way. I want to just start in Matthew 6. We'll talk about relaxing and trusting and not being stressed out. Matthew 6 and verse 24 says this: no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father, we are honored to have the Word of God. Thank you for the chance to learn it. We pray we'd get what you have for us. May the Spirit of God fall fresh on this room, and may the Holy Spirit speak to us through the Word. We need you to speak to us, Lord. We need your Word to not return void. We need you to lead and guide us into all truth. I know without you we can do nothing, Lord, so we pray that you'd be speaking to us. May we get the mind of Christ, and may we think like you want us to think and like the Bible commands us to. And Lord, help us to trust, and help us to rest, and help us not to be stressed out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very easy to get stressed out. I know what it's like to be stressed out, and it's very, very much in the human nature to get more and more tense and worry about things that are coming, worry about how things are going to work out. And you probably have a reason to be stressed right now. If you're breathing, there's something to be stressed about. There's something to worry about. How do you say, you know what, right now I have something that I could be worried about. I have something to worry about right now. How many have something in your life you could worry about? I'm not tricking you. I'm not trying to get you. Don't worry. I do. I have lots of things I could worry about, and things we have anxiety about, and all of us do. It's part of this world. You got to get an I-5 somewhere today. There's a reason to stress out, and you got to go turn out of this onto Highway 99, and you've got to figure out how to pay your bills, and you got to figure out how to keep your family good, and you got to figure out how to keep your health good, and all those things, and keep your schedule. And life is busy and stressful, and we understand that. Next week, we'll go into depression and talk about depression, and that's a lot of that in the Bible. But this week, as we talk about stress and anxiety, this chapter focuses on a couple things. Number one, it's focused on priorities. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I want you to understand one thing. I just talked to someone yesterday about this. I talk to people often about this. One thing you have to understand is the default position of life is to live for this world and not serve God. Many people are not trying to rebel against God. They just serve money. And the Bible says you cannot serve God in money. And they say, well, I have to earn a living, so I can't come to church. Okay, then you serve mammon. If you do not make a choice to serve God, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you don't choose to put God number one, you automatically will put something else number one. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and other things. You choose to serve God first. You naturally serve other things first. You won't by accident be a good Christian. You won't by accident have the right priorities. It doesn't happen. You will always take care of yourself. And God will always take the back burner, and you'll always have a justification for it. That's why Jesus says you need to choose to seek God's kingdom first, or it won't happen. That's a natural thing. The second thing he talks about after priorities is trusting. Trusting. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and a body more than raiment? That's trusting God, not worrying about it. Verse 34, therefore take no thought for the morrow. That's trusting God, and not worried about it. We live in a world of worry, with the devil constantly trying to get us to make us fail in faith by worrying. Verse 25, the devil's always trying to. Therefore, you're saying to you, take no thought for your life. Wow. Don't take any thought about your life and worry about your life at all. Don't do that, he says. Take no thought. But I want to tell you, just it's not really the message, and it's actually one of the points, but worrying is a sin. You say, really? Yeah, it really is. He says, take no thought of these things. Don't worry about it. The word, when it says take no thought in the Greek, it's marineho, which means to be anxious about anything. Okay? Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Philippians 4:7, we'll read later, be careful for nothing. The word careful means don't worry. God commands you not to. He tells you 62 times, fear not. And really, worry is just a form of fear. It's a mild form of fear. I don't know what I'm going to do. And now, it's not running, panicking fear. You're running from the lion, but it's a form of fear. But it's very easy to do. Certain people are more given to worry. There are laid-back people who don't worry much. And there's people like Martha. Jesus talked about her and said, you're very worried about many things. Luke chapter 10. And let me just read a couple of verses. It says, Martha, verse 41, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen a good part, which shall not be taken from her. And back in Matthew 6, we see it saying, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these things. Now, some of us are more prone, every sin, listen, some people are more prone to every struggle, every battle. Every one of us has a different battle. To one person is worry, to one person is anger, to another person is pride, to another person is lust. Everybody has a battle and is more prone, but all of us are prone, have the ability to struggle with any sin. And probably most of us in this busy, 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 busy world get stressed sometimes. I find myself sometimes knowing better. I went to a fast food, I don't remember what it was, Burger King. It's Burger King. I went to Burger King a while back. I was just running and running and running. And I thought, I don't got time to stop and eat anywhere, so I'll just grab some fast food. And I got in the line, and the person in front of me, I have no idea what they did, but they took a long time. And there I am in the line. I'm going, how long does it take to say I want a number one? I mean, when there were four, I mean, how long does it take? And I mean, minutes. I sat there, 3, 4, 5 minutes. I'm going, what? And I almost in my head, hey, can I help you order? I mean, and I caught myself, because you know what? You know what I said? Like 3 or 4 minutes. You know, that's not very long. Can you imagine if I'd have lived 1,000 years ago, we had to go light a fire and gather wood? And there I am, getting stressed out because I'm sitting in the line for 3 or 4 minutes. You know, and I can't just sit still. I'm totally ADD. And so I take my money out and get the exact change and count it out and figure out my tax are going to be. And I order and get my, and then I text two people. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I know better than this. Relax. I'm going to wait 6 minutes for a meal. Big deal. But, you know, we kind of get caught up and we get tense and stressed out. You ever call somebody and they don't answer and you say, and you call them again. It's like, remember you didn't used to have a cell phone? How did we survive? I couldn't get a hold of it. I called like 6 times over 7 minutes and you didn't answer. We're so impatient and stressed and we were like that. It's amazing we were like that. We get so uptight about our finances. We get so uptight about all the things that happen in life. We need some steps to deal with worry. Sometimes we get worried about health, finances, family, all kinds of burdens. You get worried. You don't know the answer, and you get stressed out. By the way, you're not always going to know the answer in life. And the devil loves to, what he does, he comes to you, and if you do not know the answer, what he does is, well, then worry more about it because you don't know the answer. Think more about it. Think in that circle again. And think in that circle again and again and again. And the devil just, and the things we get worried about, we become obsessed with, and then we get all messed up. And Jesus says, hey, take no thought of your life. Don't worry about these things. It's okay. First of all, a few things I want to give you. Just a few things to help deal with stress. Number one, realize worry does not help. Verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit to his stature? Isn't that funny? Jesus said, if you worry about your height, will you grow? I'm 5'8". You know, it would be nicer if I was 5'10". I could reach some more things. We had to put that string on there. Dennis did because he's tall and I'm short and I couldn't reach up there and pull the projector thing down. If I was his height, if I was a little taller, it'd be nice if I was a little taller, wouldn't it? All right, you ready? Let's do an experiment. Let's all worry about my height. Okay? On the count of three, I want you to worry your very hardest toward me and worry about my height. Let's see if I grow. You ready? 1, 2, 3. Wait. How tall are you? I'm hoping the microphone has to be raised, but it looks about the same spot. All right. Let's worry some more. Ready? How many have a financial worry somewhere in your life right now? Okay. All right. You have financial worry. Okay. You ready? I got a financial worry. Here's my wallet. All I got is receipts in there. All right? Don't you hate that when you have more receipts than bills? All right. Here we go. Let's see how much help worry will help. I want you to worry about my finances right now. You ready? I have 7 kids. Okay? I need to worry. You ready? On the count of three, worry. Let's see how much money appears. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Worry for me. No money appeared. You ready? Worry doesn't fix anything. It doesn't do a thing. You know what worry does for you? I'll tell you what it does. It starts changing your body. It makes you start digesting differently, and it starts really messing up your stomach. It starts making you be real short. And all of a sudden, you're biting your kids' heads off all of a sudden when they just say, it makes you, you're so tense about everything becomes a giant deal because you're so worried. all of a sudden, you would think it was no big deal, and all of a sudden, you're throwing a fit. You lose your remote. What is that thing? It's a little button. You know when you were a kid, you used to get up and turn the dial, okay? Way back when they were dinosaurs and all that stuff. And it used to be, and now, oh boy, you worry so much that now you're tense and you're on edge. And then you leave your cell phone at home. And all of a sudden, one person cuts in, or traffic's slow. Do you know how long it used to take to get everywhere in a wagon? But you're so tense, and you're so angry, and you bite people's heads off, and you wake up, and you're just everything. Everybody bothers you. Why? Because worrying is not doing anything good at messing you up, making you angry, and it's not giving you more money, and it's not fixing your health when you're worrying. Take no thought. It's worrying your health. It's making things worse. It doesn't give you more money. It won't fix a thing. You can try worrying, but realize Jesus says it doesn't add one cubit to your stature. It's wrong to worry. You're commanded not to. Number one, if you want to get rid of stress and anxiety and worry, realize that worry does not help. That helped me so much when I got that. I realized, you know, I can look for a solution. I can get some counsel. I can go work harder. But worrying isn't going to do a thing. People who worry, they think in a circle. They don't find a solution, so they start that circle again. They come to the same conclusion. I don't know what to do. So I'll think through that again. They do it again. And all you did is give yourself stomach aches and make yourself more tense. And it didn't do you any good. Worry does not do anything. It does not help you. Number two, if you want to get rid of anxiety and worry, trust your Heavenly Father. Trust your Heavenly Father. That's what this whole chapter is about. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? Look at the lilies, verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Neither toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you of ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall ye clothe? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now the first thing is, I'm assuming you're God's your Father. The Bible says, but to as many as received him, to them give you power to become the sons of God. John 1:12. You become a child of God by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not everybody who's born is a child of God. It happens when you receive Jesus Christ. You realize you have sin. Your sin separated you and God. Jesus died for that sin, was buried, rose again, and you ask him to be your Savior. At that point, you become a child of God. And your Father can take care of you. You know how kids don't sit there and worry and say, what are we going to do about eating this week, Dad? You know why they don't? Now they eat. I worry about how much they eat. And teenagers, good night. But they don't sit there and say, my 6-year-old didn't say, Dad, what are we going to do this week for food? No. She has a man for a dad. And men provide for their families. Amen? Men. Now, little boys don't. No matter what their age, you have a lot of little boys who are adults who don't provide for the family, and the woman has to go get assistance and do everything else, and he runs off. But those are boys, not men. Men provide for the family. If a man provideth not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. And wise women aren't with little boys. They find a man, not a boy. And then they don't have to worry so much because they found a man, because men provide. And fathers take care of their children. Your Father in heaven takes care of you. You don't need to worry. Don't be a man who does not take care of your children. Be a man. Well, it's tough out there. Really? You shouldn't have had kids if you weren't going to take care of them. Be there for them. Love them. Spend time with them. Your kids are more important than your hobby. Your kids are more important than you spend time and you love your kids. You provide for them and you're there for them. Amen. That's all free. Nothing to do with the message, by the way. And because your Father will take care of you. It says, hey, the birds don't worry about it. Their Father takes care of them. The flowers don't worry about it. They're beautifully clothed because your Father, He knows you have need of these things. If you're a child of God, you do not need to worry. First of all, for provision. God says, all I want you to worry about is seeking my kingdom first. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You will get what you need. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will provide for you. Next, He'll protect you. Psalm 27. God will not only provide for you, but your Heavenly Father will protect you, just like any good father would protect his children. Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Their hosts and army should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Listen, your Father can protect you. Quit worrying about everything. Quit worrying about everything. I know there's things you can worry about. You can worry about terrorism or traffic or anything you want to worry about. And crime and this and that. I've just found, folks, I can testify to this. I've been in the most dangerous areas around the world. I can just tell you, not a scratch. No bodyguards except for God. Amen. You know why? Because my Father can take care of me. I remember I was at a leper colony in the Philippines, leper sanitarium they called it, and I remember the guy walking up to me, and he was a deacon, and he says, you look there, my fingers are all gone from my leprosy, and he says, you believe God can protect you from all diseases? And I said, yes. He says, okay, shake my hand. Amen. I shook his hand. Now he said, you don't need to worry, it's all gone now, but I just want to test your faith. He said, I hate you. I'm not worried. Not worried about where I'll be tomorrow. Not worried about it. God can protect me. I was in a motorcycle wreck 2 months ago. 30 miles per hour. Landed on my feet. God lifted me up and set me down. Amen. I'm not worried. I have a Father who can protect me. I'm not going to be stressed out worrying about some weird shooter somewhere. I'm not going to stress out worried. Listen, I'm not going to worry about anything. It says, so my enemy can come and they trip and fall. God can take care of you. God can take, you don't need to be stressed out. Listen, doesn't matter how tough you are, doesn't, tough guys can get killed really easily. And weak people who are protected by God can be just fine. 10,000 can fall at your right hand, Psalm 91 says. Don't worry about your safety, just worry about being in the will of God. I'd be nervous if I wasn't where God wanted me to be. That's where I'd be worried. I'd be scared to death. I remember our Bible college president, he had a daughter who was in the middle of New Guinea. I mean, way out in the jungle. Every tribe, they had to go and learn that tribe's language. About 50 people, they had to live there. There was poison, everything in that jungle. And somebody asked him, aren't you worried about your daughter? And he said, no. I'd be more worried if my daughter is right outside here, outside the will of God. It's scary outside the will of God. Anything can happen. When you're in the will of God, when you're doing God's will for your life, your Father takes care of you. If my kid ran off and wasn't there for me to protect them, but when they're there, I can take care of them. We talked about that last week. Next, you don't worry because you trust your Heavenly Father for your provision, to protect you, to work everything together for your good. Romans 8:28, but we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Everything happening in your life will work together for your good. Everything, all things. So today, if all of a sudden I have a health issue, guess what? It's going to work together for my good. If today I have a car accident, works together for my good. If today somebody hates my guts, works together for good. If today I came to church and nobody was here, be just fine. It works together for good. You know, you learn to really relax in life when, you know, anything that happens when you're in the will of God. Now, it's qualified. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Those who love God and those who are saved, those ones, God works everything together. So whatever you're going through, if you're in the will of God, it's for your good. And so you relax and say, you know what? That's going to be okay. God, I wonder why God's doing this. I wonder why God's doing this. You trust God to work everything together for good. Just make sure you put God first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So you stop worrying, because worrying doesn't help. Then you realize your Father has it in his hands. Number three, this is the one I want to spend the most time on, and the most important, take care of today. Matthew 6. This is such a secret to life. Matthew 6. Take care of today. Matthew 6 and verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, here's what it said there. It says, do not worry anything about tomorrow. Take no thought. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He's saying the day coming has plenty of problems of itself. Don't worry about it. Everything the Bible points to today, I die daily. While it is called today, it always emphasizes today in the Bible. Why? Because it's never tomorrow. It's always today. And it says tomorrow already has its problem. Take no thought of tomorrow. Now, I want to illustrate this to you. It's so important you understand this. Daniel, coming up here. Let me help illustrate this. So, Daniel, stand over here. Stand on the stage over there. Okay. So, this is Daniel. Daniel's in today. I'm God. And I know what Daniel can handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So I know Daniel. I'm God. I know what he can handle. Okay? And I say he can handle this. That's all he can handle. All right? So today, he can handle this. Doing good? You can handle that? Okay. He's good. Right here is tomorrow. Right here tomorrow, we've got all kinds of problems. Messy pulpit's a sign of a sick mind, I guess. And grab a songbook and a Bible here. Now, this is a mess. What a disaster. This is a disaster right now, okay? This, it's all fine. Because I worked this out. I haven't worked this out yet. Now, here's what Daniel does, because he's like many of us. You know what he does? He reaches into tomorrow, and he grabs tomorrow's problems, and they start getting too heavy for him. He starts worrying about him, and how is he going to keep all these things without dropping them? And how are you going to do this without dropping this? Because he isn't taking care of the things he should take care of. Anybody got a weight or something? And now, he's got to deal with this thing. But not because I want him to deal with all that. I didn't work this stuff out. I'm not ready for him to handle this stuff. I haven't fixed it yet. I say, why'd you do that? Give me that back. I give you this. Deal with that. Can you handle that? Okay. In 28 years of counseling, I never, ever, ever meet anybody who can't handle today. And oftentimes I'll say, man, that's a mess. Boy, it's a big thing. There's a lot of things to work out there. Can you make it through today? Oh, I can handle today, but what am I? handle today. Amen. And when it's tomorrow, you can be as stressed as you want to be. As soon as it turns tomorrow. On tomorrow, freak out. On tomorrow, go crazy. On tomorrow, give up, do whatever. As soon as you say, okay, it's tomorrow. But you're going to find it's always today. And so God works all things together for good. The Lord has a plan. He fixes everything. He gives you what you can handle today, but he did not give you the grace, nor the ability, nor has he worked out tomorrow. The problem is we reach into tomorrow, and sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow's got its own problems. You took them in today, now you've doubled up. You don't have enough problems? You just had to grab some more. If you want some problems, I'll give you some of mine. But it's not worked out. Okay, so go sit down. I'll take these back right here. Take your mess. All right. So what the problem is you have to live a life one day at a time and deal with today. Can you handle today? All you have to do today is after the service, go get some food. You can handle that, right? I'm looking at you. You can handle it. And you got to try some mystery meat. And I forgot to mention duck, didn't I? We have duck today too. And you guess the mystery meat, and you gotta enjoy that. You gotta come back for church at 6 p.m. tonight, and then you have to go to bed and get ready for tomorrow. That's all you have to do today. But tomorrow, no, you don't understand. Work is so. That's tomorrow. God hasn't figured tomorrow out yet. He hasn't fixed it yet. God does take no thought of the morrow. Can you handle today? Yeah, I can handle today, but stop. No, you don't understand. In 1 month, no, don't worry about 1 month. But at the end of the month, if you say it faster, does not make it right still. Okay? Deal with it one day at a time. And say, you know what? I got a good day today. I got some good food out there. You know what? Pastor's awesome. Amen. And everything's good. And you know what? I can walk today. I can see. I have ears. I have a tongue. I can taste the food. It's a good day. I'm all right. And if you'll do that, you'll have fine today. Because God's given you the grace and he's worked out today. But you keep reaching into the future. And you know what's crazy? Here's a 16-year-old. What am I going to do? I have to get married. Who am I going to marry? Relax here. Graduate. Okay? And take it easy. And you know what? You're 40 and you're saying, I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm 60. Stop. I mean, I understand. Have yourself an IRA and save your money. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. The ends prepare for winter. I understand that. But don't be obsessed with it. You say, I got to do. See, okay, here's the thing. When you take the day today God gave you and you handle it well, your tomorrows all work out. But when you mess up today because you take your problems from tomorrow and you get overwhelmed, you get stressed out, you do not praise God, you don't take time to read your Bible and pray and love the Lord, and you're like, what am I going to do? You mess yourself up today, and so tomorrow gets messed up, and now you're in a cycle of messed up days. So, here I am today. What do I got going today? I get to preach, get some sermon for tonight, got it most of the way ready, got good preach tonight, eat the food, fellowship, shake hands, and go home, maybe catch you in the Seahawks game. That's my day. Amen. It's good preaching. And so hopefully I'll beat the Cowboys. If not, God is still good. And that's my day today. Spend some time with the family, all those things. You don't have to worry about. I'm leaving Monday night. You ready for my worries? And I want you to worry for me so it'll go away. Yesterday, my daughter was driving our car and totaled it. You want to see my beautiful car? It's right out there. They wanted to charge me $175 to tow it. I said, I'll find a way to drive it. She's okay, praise the Lord. That's the biggest thing. Car? Been dying for a long time anyway. And the lady creamed her from behind. And so, What can possibly go wrong with me out of the country and my 18-year-old having to deal with insurance adjusters? What are you going to do, Pastor? What are you going to do? God told me to go to St. Lucia. I'll be in St. Lucia. Lord willing, we'll see what happens tomorrow. What are you going to do? All I know is I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do today. Amen. It'll work out. Amen. God will work it together for good. When are you going to drive? When are you get back? I can drive anything. I'm not worried about it. What are the... Listen. I got a big God. He can handle insurance companies and... No, trust me, I've been through a lot worse than that. I've been in 44 car wrecks. I don't, I'm not worried. But what are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. Today's enough for me. I'll just do today well. Tomorrow will figure itself out. I know if I do right today, when I get to tomorrow, all of a sudden, come on back up here, Daniel. You handled your today good. Take these, put them on the chair. Now, let's see what you can handle tomorrow. There you go. You can take the two bottles of water. Why I have two, I don't know. And now it's a new day, and you can handle that, right? Yeah, that looks good. That's good for today for you. Handle those. All right? Now, come on up here, you four up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Now, you guys threaten him. Stay there. Threaten him. Stay there. Threaten him. Threaten to
nudge
him.
Yeah, you're never going to make
okay,
it.
Okay, stay there. Stay there. And, okay, ready? Go back. Stay there. Stay there. Ready?
Gun?
Ready? It's, there they are. Daisy, okay? They're threatening him. He's worried. What are they going to do about tomorrow? They're not here yet. So I go ahead. And I take care of these guys. And I beat them all up. And I get them all up here. And by the time he gets here, that was, let's do that again. Come here. No. By the time he gets there, go, sit down. And by the time he gets there, I'm going to take care of that. So he can live stressed out about that. Or he can let me take care of it by doing what I told him to do today. But if he doesn't do what I told him to do today, I'm not going to take care of that, and he's going to meet that. You follow? All right, you can put it back. So, you let your father take care of your problems in the future. You take care of today. Then you don't stress out. Number one, realize worry does not help. Number two, trust your Heavenly Father. Number three, take care of today. Number four, thankfully pray about everything. Philippians 4. I'm going to finish up here. Philippians 4. Thankfully pray about everything. See, you're so worried about what you haven't faced yet that you can't do well today. But today's okay, isn't it? One day at a time. God has given you grace for today. Just do today. Last, thankfully pray about everything. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. That literally means don't worry about everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't worry about any, it's a very specific order here. Don't worry about anything, but everything by prayer, Lord. I pray about this. I pray about that. Give me wisdom what to do. And you pray about everything. But it says how you pray, and this is the key, with thanksgiving. That's a different kind of praying. Thanksgiving prayer doesn't say, why'd you do this, God? That's not thanksgiving prayer. Thanksgiving prayer says, Lord, I have this problem that they're doing the test, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, but Lord, I thank you I can walk today. And that's thankful prayer. Thankful prayer is, Lord, thank you for loving me and saving me, Lord. I don't deserve anything. You bless me so much, but I pray you do this. I could approach my car and say, It's ridiculous. My car gets totaled. My insurance rate. I could worry about everything. I could say, Lord, thank you. My daughter's fine. Amen. And Lord, you know I'm so busy right now. I don't got time to deal with this stuff. I work it all out. I trust you, but thank you that you have a good reason for this. I know. You will find your prayers are answered much differently when you're a thankful prayer. Just like you came up to it. You know, I'm so sick and tired. You give us my money. Sure. You can give them anything. Or a child that says, you know, Mom, thank you so much for always taking care of us. You don't have to do anything for me. You've done enough for me, Mom. But, you know, I'd really like if tonight you'd cook biscuits and gravy. You know, you might get a better answer than the, you never do. But most of us gripe. Biscuits gravy are good all day, amen. And you gripe to God. You complain in your prayers instead of being thankful for all, and you have a lot of good things, by the way. If you're free right now, you're blessed. If you can see and hear and talk and walk, you're blessed. There are so many blessings we pass over. If you have enough food for today, which you do, you're blessed. But we gripe. If you will go to the Lord thankfully, Father, thank you for being so good. Thank you for being so patient with me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for this day. Lord, I'm worried about this. Tomorrow I have this test, and Lord, I've done all I can do, but I pray to make the Now, what happens is when you go, when you're not worried about it, it says you take, and with thanksgiving, you let your request, what you want to happen, that's when you can go into the future, is what you want to happen, be made known unto God. And God says, I'm going to give you something back for doing that. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. And you get a peace that does not make sense. It passes understanding, that keeps you sane and keeps your heart and keeps you happy no matter what your stress is, because the peace of God is not anywhere in our understanding. It just fixes everything. Why? Because you stand there looking at the future saying, I have no idea, but Lord, I prayed about it and it's in your hands, and God, and I have your peace and it's going to be fine. And it keeps your hearts and minds. But you need to pray about it, not worry about it. Replace worry with prayer. Amen. Worry does not mess your stomach up. And worry does not, prayer does not mess your stomach up, worry does. And prayer does not make you angry at everybody, but worry does. And does not make your neck all get all tight and you have all kinds of health issues because you're worrying. Prayer doesn't do that. You want to get rid of stress? Realize worry does not help. Trust your Heavenly Father. What if the world does this? What if it falls apart? Then you got a Heavenly Father to take care of you. Let everybody else stress out. You laugh and you smile. And you just trust God. We were there at the building. And I had a day where just everybody wanted money, money, money. I was out of money. Church is out of money. And they kept on asking for money. I had Brother McCombie here. And I already spent everything, and we didn't have any more money for the time being. And they kept on coming. And somebody came up and said, I need another $1,200. I said, I'll write you a check, but I wouldn't cash it. And then somebody else came up and they said, these guys want cash, not to be paid this way, and they need this, and we don't have it, and da-da-da-da-da. I laughed. But the Kobe says, I wouldn't be laughing. I'd be stressing out if I were you. And I said, you know what? I'm blessed. My problems are small. Amen. My kids are all healthy. I'm still saved. God still loves me. I'm not living, hiding in some house church in Iran or China, trying to hope the government doesn't catch me. I'm not somebody in Haiti that I'll visit that is starving, and or somebody in some. And I'm not from Syria right now. My problems are small. I'm not gonna. You know what? You know, I found if it's a problem today, it'll be a problem tomorrow if I don't solve it. You can live carefree in this world if you believe God. Or you can be, don't ask me anything right now. I don't want to talk to anybody. Your blood pressure your head's going to blow up and it's going to be very icky and stop. Relax. God is your Father. Heaven's your home. You're all right. This world's passing away. Just chill. Lord, I don't know what to do. Take care of this. I'm going to live today and just enjoy today you've given me. You'll take care of tomorrow. I'll be faithful with what you've given me today. I can handle this. Can you handle today?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. It's got enough problems, doesn't it? All right. And you trust God. And pray about everything with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word, Lord, as we try to study and see. Your word makes it so clear that we don't need to worry. We didn't get to Matthew 10, fear not, little flock. The Father knows you have need of these things. And how many times you say you are a shepherd, we will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So many other scriptures, Lord. But Lord, we are in a tense world with people who are worried all the time. And Lord, the devil tries to get us to get rid of our faith and just live in stress and worry and tenseness and anger. Lord, may today we learn the peace of God and trust and rest and today and to quit worrying and get rid of our anxiety and all the pills thereof and just trust you. And we thank you that you're our God who can take care of us. Thank you, our Father is almighty. And we pray you take care of whatever we need. And we would trust you enough. We just say, I'm not worried, Dad's with me. May we live that way, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.